Espírito desabando sobre o sol. Welcome to worship this morning. It's lovely to have you all here. There are some brave people in the room. Ken Irwin flew down to Dunedin on Wednesday, and my house guests flew up from Dunedin on Thursday, and they both made it. So, well done. There was a list of cancelled flights, and just a few in between were landing on Thursday. So I hope you all made it relatively unscathed through the week. It's good to have you here today. And morning tea will be served up the back after the service, so that hope you'll be able to join us then for a chat if you're a visitor. People of the place have a meeting at 11:30, but we'll try and make sure there's time to grab a cuppa in between. Let us pray. After the battering of the week, it's good to come into a space of calm when the wind has dropped and the harbour has stilled and we can take a breath. And so may this moment here, as we gather in this sacred space, be a moment of taking breath, of being still, of reflecting on how we are, how our lives are, and particularly today, what part music plays in our spirituality. And so may we have open hearts and open ears to hear what we need to hear this day. So may it be. Amen. And we say together the Jesus Prayer, or the Lord's Prayer, which you'll find on the laminated card in your order of service. Eternal Spirit, my forgiver, pain bearer, hope maker, source of all that is and is to be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven. So there are no children up the back, but Dawn, who has a story ready, is going to light the candle. And while she's doing that, she's going to decide whether she's going to save her story for another time or let us hear it today. Our rainbow candle shows that children are included here, but the children are on holiday. And so we hope that they're having a great time where they are. And after that little conversation, Dawn and I have decided that she will save her story for another day. So now it's up to us to pass the peace with each other. And just warning visitors, we do this very enthusiastically, but do not be afraid. God gets referred to a lot outside church, I discover. And frequently that's in music that's played over the airwaves or from playlists straight into the ear. Popular songs were first in the Bible, you know, with David and other singer-songwriters of the time. About 1,000 years before the time of Jesus, the psalmist was playing his harp and making music, and no doubt many before that. The Hebrew poetry of the Psalms were usually sung to simple stringed instruments, unplugged, as it were. David had some skill, and his moody predecessor, King Saul, would ask for David to play when he was feeling depressed, and the music helped Saul to feel better. And we often use music to help ourselves feel better. There's something in music that touches the heart and soothes the soul when it's at its most harmonious, melodic, or reflective. It's a spiritual, sacred activity, whether or not we overtly name it as such. And sometimes even the really loud music that has us able to fling ourselves about the room has something very therapeutic and spiritual about it too. We can escape into music and find there a happy place or a place that comforts our sorrow. Something deep within shifts when we add the right music to the mix. And sometimes God is actually named in music and sometimes not. It's intriguing to see what a few singer-songwriters have done with the sacred over recent years as well as long ago. We use the tune Praise My Soul for the first hymn, for example. The original words of Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, were written around 1869, as was the music that was especially composed for the words. And the image of God in the original hymn is of an almighty king being praised for the world around the writer and being praised by the writer for existing for much longer than we mere mortals that fade like the flowers of the field. And then we move to the 1960s. And though John Lennon's statement shocked many Christians, it was true, I think, for many teenagers that the Beatles were more famous than Jesus Christ. He continued this somewhat irreverent bent in his song Imagine, which we have just found out he and Yoko wrote in 1971, though his song is only dismissive of religion because he sees it as a divisive force which, along with other factors in the 1960s world, caused war. His yearning here is for peace so the world can live as one. I wonder what he would think of today's terrorist phenomenon were he here now. Certainly religion in our own Presbyterian Church of Aotearoa, New Zealand, has not been kind to those different from the so-called norm of being white and heterosexual and male. First, women were excluded from leadership till 1955, and Maori ministry training has followed a much less well-funded route. And in recent years, as this church well knows, gay and lesbian Presbyterians have been excluded from ministry selection. How long can our church keep up this stance after a conservative New Zealand government has apologised to those damaged by the criminalising of homosexuality? The Minister of Justice, Amy Adams, in Parliament the week before last moved this, that this House apologise to those homosexual New Zealanders who were convicted for consensual adult activity and recognise the tremendous hurt and suffering those men and their families have gone through and the continued effects the convictions have had on them. She went on to say, "Today we are putting on the record that this House deeply regrets the hurt and stigma suffered by the many hundreds of New Zealand men who were turned into criminals by a law that was profoundly wrong. And for that, we are sorry. We are acknowledging that these men should never have been burdened with criminal convictions, and we are recognising the continued effects that the convictions have had on their lives and the lives of their families. New Zealand has a profound reputation for fairness, freedom, and diversity." And the rest of that can be read and listened to on the link that you have in your order of service. And yet we still need pink shirt days to combat bullying in schools, often over issues of sexual identity. And Vicky Beeching, well known in evangelical musical circles in England and Nashville, had to take all her courage recently in her hands at the age of 30 as she came out to a critical Christian community. Keeping her secret was beginning to cost her her health, as you'll see if you follow some of the links in the order of service which are provided there. Vicky says she is speaking up so that other 13-year-olds, as she was, who know they are gay and Christian, know that they are not alone. And that is our message also as a church. Whoever you are, whatever your secret, you are not alone. You are welcome here. There's another group that's used music over the centuries to ease their oppression. Music was vital to Black African American morale in time of slavery, and imagining a way out of their situation was often the text of their Black gospel songs. This gospel hymn, written first in 1905, then arranged for the soundtrack of Sister Act II in 1993, reflects a deep need to be looked after, to be looked after well. And the words come from a passage in Matthew 10, which Maxine will read to us.
So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of God's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows.
Heaven.
There's an ancient word that's been recycled in recent popular music. The word hallelujah was often used in those ancient psalms in the Bible. Split up into its parts, it's halle, praise, u, you, yah, Yahweh. Praise you, God, could be praise you, God, or praise you, God. It's related to the sound that you may have heard on television from the Middle East when women in particular are excited and happy and make a trilling noise with their teeth, tongue, and lips. Because the Hebrew language has no vowels in it. And if you take out all the vowels out of hallelujah, all you have left is some H's, a lot of L's, a J, and another H. So it's essentially hallelujah. Leonard Cohen, who I remember singing about Suzanne when I was a university student, actually wrote hallelujah in 1984, though it's become more popular recently. And the original lyrics, as you'll see from your order of service, are centered around the story of David and Bathsheba. Although also, those of you who know your Bible will realize there's a touch of Samson and Delilah in the third verse. So here's the original story, one that does not rebound to the credit of the mighty King David.
In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself in her monthly ritual. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told, "Uriah did not go home." So he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening Uriah went out to sleep on his mat amongst his master's servants. He did not go home. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
Give thanks.
We sing in church have developed a reputation, a bad reputation, as boring and straight-laced, and if you're a hymn singer, it's not a compliment. But their music too, and they take their place in a long line of musicians wanting to express through words combined with music their deepest longings and their heartfelt emotions, their doubt and their anguish. So what does music do for you? How is your soul soothed or stirred by it? Whether or not God is mentioned by name in the songs that you listen to or that you sing, much of that music is itself weaving a sacred spell in all our lives unaware. From John Lennon to Vicky Beeching, from C.D. Martin and Lauryn Hill to Leonard Cohen, we can be thankful that music is available for us to employ for protest, to call for justice, to pray, to mourn, to grieve, and to celebrate, to sing out our need for companionship, whether that be human or divine. So may it continue through the centuries, beyond us today, into the future. And so as we make our offerings today, we're going to give thanks for music as well as the physical goods we've been given. As the offerings are received, let's sing the hymn we learned last week, a hymn that uses Jesus' words from the Gospel. Let's use music now to remind us to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. There's music on the insert in your order of service, if you need it, and we'll repeat the last verse if we need to. There's a long intro, so be patient. Stay seated.
Just a cup of water in his name, Jesus said, we'll honor him. Many need your love, Lord. Make us see and help us live in true charity.
Together. For all the music we have been given, for the food and money we enjoy, we give thanks. May this food and this money which we offer help others to hear the music of life. So may it be. Amen. Would people who have notices like to come forward so that we can speak of our community? One thing I'd like to say to you is to thank people for the housing night. It was a really good night last Monday, and so thank you to Lynn, who was the chief organiser, and a lot of other people who supported, and you for distributing flyers and posters. There are little flyers for the next two nights, the income night on the 15th of August and the Honesty and Leadership one on the 31st of August. So they're at the door, and if you know a place where you can litter them about, please do that, won't you? Anyone else?
On the back of the hymn that we've just sung is a flyer. I was very surprised to see this, but very happy to see this, advertising the concert here on the 28th. Starts at 6:30, and it will be over by 8 o'clock, which means you can go out for a meal or go out on the town, do whatever you want. Peter Franklin, the lovely and talented Peter Franklin, has some really good music in store for us. And my accompanist, Michael Nicholas Williams, and I have been choosing our favorite songs from all the shows we've done over the years. A lot of the St. Andrews community has come to my shows over the years and supported me, and I've been really happy about that. So you kind of know what you're getting into, but I promise I will not be too shocking. but I also promise that I will not be boring. So I hope to see you on the 28th. Thank you.
My name is Pam Fuller, and I'm a member of the congregation here. And I'm just up here today to remind you that we have a spirited conversation on Tuesday night, and there's a blue folder at the back, which at the moment only has five names in it. So I'm hoping that that's going to multiply by quite a few by the end of the morning. So if you just please put your name down and how many there are, and if you've got any dietary requirements, that would be most appreciated. Thanks.
I just wanted to say a quick word about the Welfare Guardianship Trust, that there's a notice in the order of the service, and I apologise for my lack of, proofreading the email address that there doesn't work, because the real email is welfareguardian@gmail.com. So, but the address for the website is there. I know a number of people have approached me with some interest, so if you want to proceed with that, if you could send an email to the Trust and we can follow the procedure through. So thanks very much.
Next Sunday, on the 23rd, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to be having a lovely Music Futures concert celebrating youth music in Wellington, actually. Do come along if you can. It's going to be such a lovely concert. We're going to have the winners of the chamber music contest in the central region, the Drusia Quartet, one of the other Wellington finalists, and some other very talented young people. So that's next Sunday at 3 o'clock here at St Andrews.
And now we pray.
Our ordinary lives are full of musical rhythms, episodes, and cadences. The themes of our work, play, families, and geographies are like melodies that come and go as though in an elaborate fugue. We pray for all those who suffer unwanted melodies. After the cacophony of storms in politics, in conflicts, in relationships and in Mother Nature that have affected each of us differently this past week, let us remember to listen carefully for the silences between the notes. For it is in these moments that we hear the subtle sounds that resonate, reminding us of our purpose. We acknowledge that we too often take for granted the music around us, so we pray for guidance to become more sensitive and to open our hearts, our minds, and our emotions to the human music of others. Open our ears to hear what you have to say to us, Jesus, and give us courage to follow wherever you may lead us. God, listen to the sound of the cry of our soul. Amen. From the book today, we pray for Ratu Harris, President of Black Power, for your sacrifices, leadership, vision in connecting young urban Māori to their iwi and hapū, for your attempts to reduce intergang violence and domestic violence. We pray also for Yemen, ravished by war, famine, and now 30,000 citizens suffering, dying from cholera, and for besieged Gaza, with electricity reduced to 3 to 4 hours daily. In our circle of prayer, we think today of the people of Bolivia and the Bolivian Evangelical Lutheran Church. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Catherine Delahunty and Bill English, List MPs. Here in Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of the First Presbyterian Church in Martinborough. And we finish our prayer with a prayer for St Andrews. If you are not a member of this community, and please make this a prayer for your own community, or for us too. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
During the week, I heard a choir singing on the program. It was a Welsh choir, and they sang the original words to Jerusalem, but they've caused great distress throughout the UK, or perhaps I should say particularly in England, because they changed the word England's green and pleasant land to Britain's green and pleasant land. So we're singing completely different words, so we'll be forgiven, I think. Let us sing. And did those feet in former times walk upon scree and tussockbrow? Music of the spheres singing in our hearts, we leave this place to spread the music further abroad. Music which soothes the sadness and comforts crying. Music of life and love and laughter which lifts the spirit. Music sacred and divine, which speaks to that which is sacred and divine within us all.